New York City. The Knicks. For 75 years, they've been the same breed. Because the same philosophy on the streets are commandments on this court. Chips on shoulders. Chips on chins. Every decade, our struggles, our strength are shared. The same style, the same confidence, the same history. Those six trained men as they show up, night after night after night. You think something's in that garden water, but it's the same H2O. Yesterday, now, forever. Because we're built by New York.
Peace, diehards. We here. Dire State of Mind season opener recap, man. We beat the Celtics 138-34, man. It wasn't that simple. Me and State was there together, and it was a crazy ride, man. So shout out to everybody that's in the chat already, patiently waiting for us to get into the building. But Dire Knicks, Dire State of Mind, we are here. Let's go for it. What's going on, State?
Hey, what's up? What's up, brother? How are you?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Little technical difficulties for those that wonder what's going on in the chat, but you know it happens. You know what I'm saying? Hit those likes, you know, get the numbers up, so you know we can get these things taken care of. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. How should I start this off? So I started off with this. Evan Fournier in his Knicks debut, 32.6 rebounds, 4 steals, 13 for 25, 6 for 13, 3-pointers. The most points by a Knick in a debut in franchise history. So that's what we witnessed last night. Something else that we witnessed that I know that you would appreciate, RJ Barrett's defense, something I was mentioning all night, was stellar. So according to NBA.com, RJ Barrett's defense versus the Celtics, he had 27 field goals attempted against him. It was only 5 made. So that's about 18.5 percentage, best in the NBA. Elite defensive performance by RJ Barrett. And that's it's crazy. That's with Jaylen Brown scoring 20 in the first quarter. We was watching him go off. But we was watching Jason Tatum being put in Rikers. So that was nice to see. And the third thing, and I think that me and you should be most appreciative of, is Obi Toppin. I think that's a guy that you need to start off talking about first. He was the hardest pause on Obi Toppin, and you know, you start from there, man. Because to me, it felt like at times he was the best player on the floor. He plays hard. He plays hard on both sides of the ball. And he has one of the highest motors I've ever seen from a Knicks draftee in a while. So shout-outs to Obi, man. I really appreciated his effort. And God damn it, finally he could score 14 points, bro. That's his career high. It needs to be 20. But those three things right there, like, really stood out to me yesterday.
Well, for me, what stood out the most is just how tight the damn seats are in the freaking garden, man. Like, you had to sit up front. We had to wait for the next crew to come in, whatever. Then when you finally sat next to us, man, I mean, like, me and you about to have, like, a baby and stuff, man, you know? I'm sitting right next to Sims, wife, too, man. So it was a little awkward, a little tight and stuff there, man. We had Cornerstone behind me. You had the Queen behind us. You know, it was cool, man. That's what stood out the most, how tight the freaking garden is, man. But you know, for the most part, we was able to see the game pretty good and all that. But you know, to touch on the different players and stuff, I just feel like we're just so prepared, we're just so well prepared for any team. So the Celtics, they, you know, in the beginning, I was kind of like wondering what they were thinking, because I felt like they were kind of playing to match us up, you know. So they were kind of playing into our laps, kind of. But we just couldn't do nothing about Jaylen Brown, man. Jaylen Brown was just kicking our ass. He was, you know, you were saying it too. Like Tatum is supposed to be the face of their franchise, but Jaylen Brown got the whole bag, man. You know, he could do everything. He can get on. He can get to the basket. He got left, right hand. He got step back jump shots. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, and then he can get up and bang it on you. And he was shooting threes. I mean, the dude was doing everything. You know, the one trick pony, I think, is Tatum, man. And I think that's why RJ was able to lock his ass up, because, you know, Tatum is just looking to go one on one. He's not looking to do nothing else. He's not looking to get nobody involved. He's just looking to get the ball and do his Melo shit. You know, they keep talking about Kobe Bryant, but, you know, he's more like Melo in that way, because he's just trying to get his shot off. He's not trying to do nothing else. You know, so, you know, you put me on the spot with Obi Toppin, you know, but, you know, Obi Toppin, he never had a problem with effort. So that's the most important thing. What now that he's doing it, from the effort, it's turning into confidence now, you know. So, you know, that's the only thing that you ask for guys to bring effort. That's the problem that we have with Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina and all these guys, man. It's just they didn't have the motor that Obi had, you know. So that's so important, man. So that's the reason why he got the minutes in his rookie year, because, you know, you couldn't stop him from running back and forth. So now the important thing is now for him to be poised enough to be able to actually, you know, contribute to the basketball game. So he was hitting threes, running up and down a court. That's going to be, you know, what he really sticks out, just running the court, being able to finish breaks in front of everybody. Because once he gets open, you can't catch him as a big guy. You know, and that, you know, the best play that he had was that scoop layup.
Yes.
You know, I've been begging for him to finish strong at the basket, like, you know, since he's been here, you know. And then, you know, just him, the way that he got up there and then went underneath and scooped it. Oh, man, that was crazy, man.
So yeah, the Celtics. So it's funny. The scheme of the Celtics last night, and I rewatched the game from like on TV to see it. So because like being at the game and watching it from the TV, you get two point of views. It's like 2K, like you get two point of views. So watching it from the crib, their scheme was basically like, so at first they was giving Randle one-on-one, but then they started switching everything. So then what I was noticing, and I didn't notice this at the game because I'm so into the game and I'm so like the adrenaline is rushing. What I'm noticing is after they switch, it's always a little man on Randle. Literally for like, I think they was doing this for like 12 straight minutes. After every switch, they had a little man on Randle. You can't put Grant Williams on Randle. You can't put Jaylen Brown on Randle. Basically, you can't put nobody on the Celtics starting five on Randle. So I'm wondering, I'm like, why the fuck Tibbs ran the same play back 8 times straight? But I'm looking at the guy who's guarding him, and I'm like, damn, I can't really be mad because I would give him the goddamn ball too. So I think the scheme, bro, was what really played into our hand. Basically, they basically gave us the game when they started switching everything. That's when, like, you know, Randle started going off. He went off that first half. He's going off.
Yeah. Well, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to do the same thing they did to Randle last year. They're trying to put a little guy on him because, you know, Randle don't really have a post-up game. You know, he's you know, not for nothing, like that dribble between the legs crossover move, man, that he does, you know, it's quick now. You know?
Oh,
yeah. Quicker than Kemba's, man. Kemba had a couple of nice crossovers, but not as quick as Randle, man. Randle's really really going quick with that. Bop bop. Bop bop crossover, man. So that's the thing, you know, Randle, you know, we want Randle in the post, but he don't really have no post-up moves. So I think that's like the next evolution of his game. Like most of the moves that you see him doing post-wise is really just him facing up and then changing direction and then doing like a little floating hook shot type of thing. That's just like seem to be his bread and butter move. But you know, that's the way teams are gonna play him, man. They're gonna try to put a little guy on him and try to cut his legs off and force him to make an offensive foul. He did that a couple times in the game too, you know, those push-offs and stuff. He's just too big, man. Nobody can really guard him.
So staying on the Obi and Randle subject, you know, the thing that I appreciate about Randle now, so remember in 2019, I used to say to you, I hated Randle turnovers because they was bad turnovers. And what I mean by bad turnovers, you're not playing good basketball. You're looking like you don't know what the fuck you're doing while you're on the court. So Randle, I think, had 7 or 8 turnovers yesterday. And they wasn't bad turnovers at all. Like, they was in the flow of the offense, and it didn't really hurt us. He had 9 and 6, too. I was hoping he got the 10 assists. I thought he looked up and looked at his stats to get that 10 assists, but he did. But it was nice to see. And then the small ball lineup, man, die hard, man. I thought Tibbs would never employ Obi and Randle together before the season started. That lineup is really good, though.
It looks good. Yeah, like you know, I love the fact that we could play so many different ways, man. You know, as soon as that small ball lineup came in there, you know, they even play Obi and Mitch together too, which gave us a different look also. So I mean, like, same thing, like you said, like when you're watching the game, there's so much things going on, like you know, like I said, we uncomfortable. I'm sitting like this with my fucking titties pressing against each other. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, you sitting up. We got to sit up on the you know, the freaking you know, the seat just to get enough room and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the game, man. So when you watch it the second time, you know, you just see a lot more stuff, you know. But you know, it's still good to go to the Garden and things of that nature. But yeah, man. Yeah. What would you ask me? I was about to get into like a nostalgic thing going on here.
Go ahead. Nah, go ahead.
Well, you know, we was talking about the Obi and Mitchell Robinson and, you know, the whole small ball stuff. You know, like we have, it's like levels. We have to start one way. You know, the defense adjusts to it, you know, like with the whole switching. But then once we bring the other guys in, you know, it kind of, it's a whole different thing. And then we can keep doing that all game until we figure out a way to confuse them and possibly take the life out of them. You know, we almost won, actually, man. 49 seconds left in the game, we were up by 6. You know, I stood up and I started clapping. And as soon as I started clapping, next thing you know, with like the game is tied. Like, oh shit, how the fuck did that happen? You know?
So funny thing, all right, the small ball lineup. And another thing I can appreciate about Randle, RJ Barrett has 0 points, right?
Yeah.
Going into this is the first half. I remember I turned over to Apollo and I said, yo, Apollo, RJ got 0 points. But the man is playing Hall of Fame defense. I don't know if you watch him defensively, but he's looking like Andre Iguodala out there. And then remember, I linked over here. I'm like, you look at Kevin Baysmore. So, but, you know, we go into the third quarter, and then we feature the Randle, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, the small ball lineup. And RJ Barrett had 14 in the third. And Randle, if y'all didn't notice, RJ, remember, they stole the ball. Randle gave him the assist, gave RJ Barrett the assist for the dunk. Then the very next play, Randle gave RJ Barrett a wide open three. And then the very next play after that, he gave him another three. So it was like back to back to back. And then RJ Barrett, just the floodgates open. So that was very nice to see, man. That small ball lineup, it's very effective. It is very effective. Shout out to Evan Fournier, man.
Yeah,
a Frenchman.
Yeah, I've been saying all year, man. Like, you know, he was kind of down on him on the signing. You know, like a lot of people saying that we paid him too much. But I'm gonna play a clip right now, man. This is the clip that I've been saying. As soon as this happens, you know, everybody's gonna really know what his worth is.
Brown picks him up. Fournier fakes, sets himself, 3-pointer. Bang! Evan Fournier from downtown. Knicks back up by 2. Fournier's got 30.
Yo, man, you see Fournier? You see Randle's reaction to it? Because he's screaming. And Randle was like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And, yo, that's what's really going to galvanize this team, man. You know, it, like, and talking about the jump shot, you know, how many times did Fournier get to the basket? You know, he was getting to the basket at will. So that's something that I didn't know he can do, you know, to that degree. He was getting to the basket when he wanted to. You know, so, and also, you know, getting, you know, other guys opportunities with the ball, you know, the hockey assist that you talk about all the time, you know, he was just a plus play on both sides, man. Talk about both sides, the defense too, right? I think you brought it to my attention in the game and said, yo, look at Fournier. Yo, Fournier was all over the court, man. He was filling all the gaps. So, I mean, on day one, for a guy that's not known to be a defensive player to play such good team defense.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah. This is only game one.
Yeah, that was impressive. I was very impressed with that. And it was a clip going around on Twitter where he defended 4 people on one possession. And, yo, I didn't know he could defend like that. I guess in Boston, I guess he was hurt and they rushed him back. So at the time of the playoffs, the game I was talking about when he went 1-for-10 or 1-for-11, I guess he's probably still hurt. But he still had a couple 20-point games. Man, it's nice to have a guy like that. High IQ. Very high IQ. And I told you, dog. I said, Evan Fournier, you're going to have a huge effect on RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. But mainly RJ Barrett. Because now I don't have to really sit there and be like, all right, RJ, you got to score. You got to give me some points now. But remember, we got to score drought. Evan Fournier hit a magical three. Get his score drought. Evan Fournier hit a magical three. It was nice to watch him. And in his debut, he ain't look scared. So, hey.
Yeah, I brought that up when we had those the halftime shows and you know the recaps and stuff like that. The one thing I love about Fournier is that he is so poised, man. You know, he stands up really tall. He has good posture, and you never see him like on some negative shit at any time during the game. So like they always say that maybe he might be a little bit too fiery. That's what the French national team said. They sometimes he's a little bit too crazy with his players. But I guess he's trying to get the guys on his level. You know, to be focused on the game is the way that he is. But watching him as a Knick man, like I said, he's just cool as a cucumber. You know, no matter if he's having a bad game, shooting, whatever, he's still his energy is always just chill. He had 32 points, man. Like we were saying it throughout the game. I don't remember not one shot he took, you know, that he had 32 points, you know, but it was so smooth and so under control that, you know, it just shows you his worth. And then by doing that, you know, it's just crazy because everybody had their time in the game. Everybody, you know, Rose had his time. You know, even Walker was playing kind of bad this game. You know, I guess we'll elaborate on that. But he had his moment. You know, every single player on the team had their moment. You know, so which is good. But that doesn't happen. You know, if we don't have the talent. You know, the talent for guys to really to do that, man. So, yeah, shout out to Fournier. Fournier's going to be extremely important this year for us, bro.
So let me kill a narrative right quick, right? Because people saying Jason Tatum, he missed wide open shots. So when RJ Barrett defended Tatum, Tatum was 3-for-16. So I just wanted to destroy that narrative real quick for anybody who keeps saying that. But Evan Fournier was a hell of a pickup. The thing that got me I was excited about too was Mitchell Robinson. I guess we haven't spoke about him yet. And we was kind of down on him. I don't know if you was, but I was down on him. Yeah. For the past few weeks, I was kind of disappointed hearing about injuries. And, you know, it's kind of getting annoying because you're coming into – you're a grown-ass man now. Like, you're not the same 20-year-old. I remember you from 3 years ago, 21-year-old. You're like 23, 24. You got to show up. And he gave us 17 important rebounds, but he got a double-double his first game back. So I was very impressed with Mitchell Robinson. What you say from Mitch?
Well, you know, watching the game over again, there was another play. There's like another clip going around. I wish I would have had it queued up. Is that I think it was Eric Williams, whatever. He was underneath the basket, wide open, and he got the ball to him, and all he had to do was get up and dunk it. And Mitchell Robinson was down, was up by the key, and he made his way from the key to the basket to stop him from shooting, and then he had to pass the ball back out, and then ended up being a turnover for the Knicks, whatever. Because he actually passed it out and Rose stole it. You know, but the ground that he's able to cover, still, even though he gained all this weight, that is what I was like so worried about. Is that like when you add all this weight to your body, you know, it's going to cause a lot of problems, man. You know, like feet problems. And he broke his foot, so why would you gain weight on a broken foot? So I was really worried about that. But as far as mobility, like he didn't really show it his first game in the preseason, which was the last one. But from that first preseason game where he didn't have no lift to this one. I feel like I don't know what he took, like whatever, some kind of super pill or something, or maybe he was sleeping in Randall's hyperbolic chamber or something like that. But he looked fantastic, man. I'm so excited. You know, at the game, my energy was done, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like I was like so tired, and then the overtime killed us or whatever. So like the energy was a little bit different in there. Like I said, we was like this, you know, like. But after watching it again and just like. You know, just dealing with today, man. Yo, we got a really good team, man. You know, special. We got a team that could be freaking special. And it's not just a Knick fan capping, you know, a homer, you know, on a microphone capping for his team. You know, yeah, I think we got a really good team, man. We don't have no weaknesses. The weaknesses that I've been worried about has been Mitchell Robinson, the small forwards, which is Obi Toppin and whoever else we got coming off the bench and stuff. Those are the things that I've been worried about. But all of our answers questions have been answered. You know, so now this is only game one. What happens when we freaking gel 20 games from now?
So I'm about to say something that sounds blasphemous, but I'm gonna say it anyway because I like saying whatever was on my mind. Yeah.
So, I got the reality stone, man. So don't worry about it.
So I'm watching basketball for at least 21 years. Under Thibodeau, you know who Julius Randle reminds me of, bro. And this going to sound crazy, bro, but. I was watching highlights last night, and I'm like, yo, this is one of my favorite teams of all time. And he reminded me of this player. The man is playing like Chris Webber, bro. The man is really playing like 2001 Chris Webber. Now, he puts the ball on the floor. He shoots from anywhere in mid-range. You can run your offense through him. You can play off him. He can play on ball. He can play off ball. He's not going to get the defensive numbers in the box sheet, but he's going to defend. Could guard 1-5. I don't know what the hell I'm watching. I think it's fake. I think it's still a fluke. What the hell am I witnessing here with this man? Because this is scary. Because if the Knicks, we got to put it in perspective, right? If RJ Barrett is 21, Randle is 26 years old. In 2 years, Barrett's going to be 23 and Randle's going to be 28 years old. How much better can them two boys get is going to be the question I'm about to start asking people really soon if they keep showing me this. Because yesterday's game was that was nice. That was good. That was nice.
So what year are the Sacramento Kings you was talking about? 2001, you said?
2001. Or is it 2002? One of those years.
When
they got eliminated by the Lakers when they cheated in game six and shot 27 free throws.
In the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just looking at Basketball Reference. I'm going to see if I can put it up. But like I said, I don't want to mess up the stream or anything like that. But I just want to put it up just for the simple fact from what you're saying, just to compare it. Because I agree with you, man, because the Sacramento team, they were able to play small ball. They were able to put a defensive lineup out there. They had the same kind of things that we have, a lot of versatility and stuff like that. Also, too, I kind of agree with the Chris Webber thing. Even though Chris Webber might have been more of a strict post-up guy more than the dribbling through the legs and all the stuff that Randle does. But, you know, I get it. The same type of thing. You know, Chris Webber used to get in trouble for offensive fouls a lot because he's just so much bigger than the other guy, so much quicker that they used to just stand up on him and then he used to knock him down. He's, you know, that's how they cheated. You know, but I'm looking at these guys, you know, Pager. You know, you could say Pager is – it could be R.J. Barrett, you know. You know, or maybe Doug Christie. Doug Christie could be R.J. Barrett with the defense. Pager could be Fournier. You know, Mike Bibby is – this guy, Kemba Walker, you know, because you're talking about the knee problems and stuff like that. You know, same type of thing. Vlade Divac is probably the X factor for us. We don't have really like a Vlade Divac kind of thing. But Mitchell Robinson is the same thing, like a Scott Pollard, you know, or whatever. And, you know, then we still got, Funderburk and Gerald Wallace could be Obi Toppin. You know, so I see it, man. You know, definitely, man. You have a good eye for these rosters and years and stuff that you put out there with these different rosters. So, I mean, even Bobby Jackson. Bobby Jackson could be, Derrick Rose.
I love Bobby Jackson. Tough guy.
Yeah, man. Bobby Jackson was good.
I can't compare Randle to LeBron. LeBron is a once-in-a-generation type of player, bro. I'm sorry, bro. LeBron is different, bro. LeBron been nice since I was a freshman in high school, bro. That was 2004. No,
2003.
2003, 2004. Braun has been nice. So, Randle, look at Chris Webber numbers. I don't know, man. I don't know. Y'all got to go and watch some Chris Webber tape. Chris Webber is way more athletic, but Randle could step out to the perimeter. So in 2001, C-Webb 38 minutes per game, 24.5 points per game, 49% from the field, 10 rebounds, 4.8 assists. That's around Randle numbers right now. It's just he did it in a tougher NBA. But, you know, it's cool. It's cool to see Randle right now, man.
Yeah, it's different eras, you know, different eras. The way that we shoot the ball, like, right, that's one thing that got to be said, too. The Knicks are really shooting a lot of damn three-pointers now, like 40-something three-pointers. Do you know how many three-pointers we shot last night?
So, let me go. I'm going to that right now. We definitely did, and it's crazy how Thibodeau is just making me look like a fool. He's putting out the small ball lineup. He want to shoot a lot of threes now. He's doing everything I said I wanted to shoot. So, Thibodeau, this funny guy. So the Knicks shot 45 threes. Yeah. God damn.
And that seems like that's good. How many?
We made 17 threes.
Wow. That's going to be the Knicks, man. I think that's because, I mean, the whole preseason we've been shooting 40-something threes. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is going to be the new Knicks. You know?
Yes, yes. And another thing. Yeah, I could appreciate about Tibbs. So, two things. Quickly was horrible last night. He was garbage. He was like, I just call it how I see it. Like, he was really bad. Miscommunications on defense. He's getting smoking him on defense. Like, he was really bad. He missed a couple easy passes, a couple dump off passes to OB. I didn't like it. So Thibodeau sat him. I agree with that, Thibodeau. That is a substitution I agree with. And another thing I seen was Alec Burks. Thibodeau sat Burks after they was attacking him. So that tells me that, okay, Tibbs. Tibbs been lit. Tibbs been hearing. He been hearing that smoke.
Yeah. You know, one thing that stands out too, I think Julito said that when he was on the panel. He was like, because you know now Julito's sitting courtside now, man, so he could actually see mannerisms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he pointed out that when the Celtics are like say something was happening, like the coach pull a guy out, the guy would go to the bench sulking. But the difference with the Knicks players, like you were talking about Walker just now, right?
Yeah.
They took Walker out, and Walker stood right next to right after he took him out the game. Walker didn't sit back down; he stood up next to Tibbs, you know. And it was like, you know, cheering on the guys from the thing. So that's the big difference between, you know, our team and other teams, is that we have instant chemistry already. We brought guys from last year, but you take a Burks out. Burke is not flat; he's not on the bench. You know, like trying to like pass on his negative energy. You know, he's on the bench and he's like just as excited as if he was in the game. So the guys are pushing for each other.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the key right there that's really going to take us to that special place, man. I think right now, you know, it's great to be excited, man. But, you know, I can't help it. There's so many great things happening right before our eyes that we just got to believe it. We got to believe what we're seeing because, you know, we used to make up shit, you know, as Knicks fans. Yo, we're going to win this. We're going to win that. Oh, man, I can't believe we're not doing it because, you know, we was looking at it through orange and blue glasses. You know what I'm saying? Now this is something we haven't seen, man. You know, like you're talking about 2001 Sacramento Kings. You know what I'm saying? We haven't seen basketball like this in a while, man. You know, so this is our team. And, you know, we got to believe what we see. You know, and you know, and just really appreciate it and get behind these guys because, and we are, you know, Knicks fans are wilding, man. It's crazy.
Yo, let's all thank James Dolan real quick. I know that sounds ridiculous right now. James Dolan fired Steve Mills at the perfect time. This is the first time he's ever fired somebody at the perfect time. I think the only time I probably disagree with, and I go to the grave saying that, is when he fired Phil Jackson. I felt like he should have just let Phil Jackson get one more year, but it was getting so bad on ESPN. You got Stephen A. Smith on the radio, Facebook. We was killing up, man. It was bad everywhere. So he had to go. James Dolan fired Steve Mills. He bring in Leola Rose, right? We get the third pick in the draft, right? we get RJ Barrett. So RJ Barrett is a part of this generation's superstars. He's a part of this generation. So we got a guy from this era, right? And we got brought in a guy who we signed in Julius Randle, who is 20. How old was he at the time? We signed him like 24, like 24, 25.
Yeah, 25 probably.
Signed him when he was like 25. So you get those two guys in the building, and then you bring on Thibodeau, a coach who now he kind of looks like he's adapting now. Give it 10 more games. We'll see.
Well, we got the talent now, man. You know, yes. like you said, like an Elfrid Payton bad game. You know, excuse me, a Walker's. Say what you said. So I don't want to like mess up your quote. You see, we were saying something about Elfrid Payton and Walker.
Elfrid Payton and Walker. Oh, that's night and day, bro. I was paying attention to the bench huddles. I'm pretty sure you was. I'm pretty sure a lot of people was. They was all together, man. It's really nice to see. It's night and day, bro. Matter of fact, real quick, a play that Kemba would make that Elfrid wouldn't make. I think it was a play in the fourth quarter. No, not yet. Yes. I think it was the fourth quarter or even the first OT. Kemba Walker shot a step back three to tie the game. And I think Jaylen Brown just hit a three. So he breaks momentum at the perfect time last night. Like, he found ways to contribute to the game even though he was playing bad. And I loved what I said from Kemba Walker. That was nice, man. Bronx legend, man.
Yeah, but there was a quote that you said. I was trying to not to mess it up. But you was like a Kemba bad game is way different than an Elfrid Payton bad game.
Yes,
you know, yes. That's what you were saying. You said that like mad times last night. So I was trying to get the right quote. But that's spot on, man. Because Walker was playing bad. Yeah. You know, he was playing bad. They pulled him early. They had Quickly out there for a hot second, and they put Rose in there for a hot second too. You know, just to get off of what Walker was doing. But just the fact that Walker, you know, how good he is. You know, it's just like you said, it's night and fucking day, man. You know, Elfrid could either have a good game or he's just going to completely be terrible. You know, but Kemba Walker could have a bad game. It still impact the game so many different ways, man. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, shout out to him, too. He didn't get torched like he did in the preseason, you know, with against Washington when it was just going at him. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know if that was their game plan for the Celtics. You know, that's another thing, too. Like, as time goes on, you know, in 20 games, you know, our chemistry will be a lot better. But also in 20 games, there's going to be a stack of scouting reports on us, too. You know, so that's going to be play a factor in it, too. So hopefully, you know, our gelling meets the scouting report, you know, head on. And we're able to maintain this, man, because I'm ready. I'm ready, bro. Yo, shout out to Eric L. Beats, man. He popped in last night at the end when everybody was like evaporating from the night, man, because we all was tired, man. But you know, Eric L. Beats, he got like unlimited stamina, man. That guy's everywhere.
Shout out to my guy Eric, man. you know why people wasn't coming walk up like how they was in the preseason? Who started?
Who's that?
Mitchell Robinson. So
right. Okay, I got you.
When you got a guy like Mitchell Robinson in your starting lineup who could switch 1-5, Kemba Walker could just funnel his man straight to Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, that's essentially what they was doing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can't funnel these guys to Taj Gibson. 36. Right. Mitch is a different type of animal. So I'm good, man. I'm happy, man. RJ could guard 1-4. I know Evan Fournier could guard 1-4. I know Mitch could guard 1-5. I've seen it. But you don't want him to stay in front of point guards all the game, but he could guard 1-5. Randle could guard 1-5. The only person, the weakest link is probably Kemba Walker. And hey, he competed last night. I'll tell you that. And he got 8 rebounds too, while Mitchell Robinson got 17 rebounds. So big ups to Kemba Walker for that, man.
Yeah, at one point I think Kemba Walker was leading us in rebounding. He had a couple. Well, no, you know, Robinson was leading rebound, but he was like number two at one point during the game too, man. So, you know, even though he wasn't playing well passing the ball, because I think at one point he didn't have no assists either, Walker. You know, so Walker was just playing a weird game, but he still was actively involved in other parts of the game. You know, so you know, tip to him, to those guys, man. Yeah, I see Knicks 100. He's talking about the Atlanta's game right now, man.
Talking about Cam Reddish? Yeah, I was watching that game. watching that game. You want to know what's funny, dog? No, I was called stupid a lot over this summer for a lot of takes I had. The Mo Bamba take, 18 and 4 blocks. Cam Reddish, 20 points off the bench. RJ Barrett, getting his little buckets. It's going to be a nice NBA season. This is probably the most talent I've ever seen in the NBA at one time. This is crazy. Like, if you could lead pass, I could legit watch every basketball team this year.
You know what it is, though, right? LeBron's era is coming to an end. That's why.
Yeah.
LeBron went and got all his old geezers on the Lakers right now, trying to still have a super team. He got all these Hall of Famers, even though Melo's at the end of his career, Rondo was on that team. All these different guys are on the end of their career and all this other stuff, but he's still got to team up with all these different, mega personalities in order to compete. That's one thing that people keep forgetting to say. They keep saying that Jordan had Pippen, this and the other. Look at all the names that LeBron has played with throughout his career too, man. And not to mention, when he made that decision, he destroyed every single team in the NBA because everybody gutted their roster to get an opportunity to get one of these mega players. Not thinking that Miami would sign three of them, and the Knicks signed two. They went and got they signed Amari, but then they went and got Melo too. So the league was kind of discombobulated. All the talent was all over the place. But now the guys are getting older and stuff like that. The draft is starting to come in. These young boys are starting to step up. So now the Atlanta Hawks, they got I don't want to talk about them now, man, because fuck the Atlanta Hawks, But it's like they won 113 to 87, man. So they're ready too. They're ready too. So, I'm ready for them also, man. We played them Christmas, right?
I want that smoke. Yeah, we played them Christmas. I want smoke.
Yeah, man.
I want that smoke. I ain't going to lie, though. I'm going to be paying close attention to Cam Reddish, though. And listen, I'm going to just say this, diehard. The Knicks is going to get to a point, and this is what I think I told you this weeks ago. The Knicks are going to get to a point where Randle and RJ become so good that you have to make a trade. You're going to get to that point. And I don't know when that point is going to happen, but if RJ keeps this Kawhi Leonard 23-year-old defense up, if Obi want to continue looking like Boris Diaw, if Randle want to keep looking like Chris Webber in 2001, if Evan Fournier, he want to keep looking like Peja Stojakovic, be my guess. But our team, we have a lot of assets. We got a lot of young pieces. And I'm telling you right now, Dahart, the way I'm looking at this roster, if it was up to me, I would for sure keep Obi. Like, for what I seen last night, I got to get a crazy stuff. I'm overreacting to hell with it. I'm going to overreact. But if it was up to me going on a roster forward, I'm keeping Obi. I'm keeping Randle. You keep Obi because Obi could play the backup five. So, and he could play the backup four. And he could probably start at either position by the time he's ready. You keep RJ Barrett. You keep Julius Randle. And honestly, you keep Evan Fournier. Now it comes down to Derrick Rose. I think Derrick Rose is going to retire Nick. And I think Kemba Walker is going to retire Nick. So now it comes down to the rest of those guys. And honestly, listen, if I ain't even going to say no names, but if one of those boys acts out, I know the Knicks is going to be ready and prepared. So don't fall in love with these players that's on our roster right now. Not all of them.
Well, I look at it like this, man. We just played the Celtics, right? So, mm-hmm. I guess I could try to pull it up now because I'm trying not to corrupt the stream here. But, the Celtics, man, you want to talk about Larry Bird and those guys? Larry Bird could be, I actually made a podcast about this a while back, citing, the whole Randle and Obi factor. Could they coincide together? So, I mean, the answer to that question is yes, right? But now here's the thing. As you're saying, as these guys get older and they start getting better and, in age and stuff like that, Obi's definitely going to get better and better. So it's going to come to a point, like you said, where that we're going to have a lot of talent on this roster. But now you're talking about trades, right? You were hinting at. Yeah. But, great teams like the Celtics back then with Larry Bird and stuff. He had Kevin McHale. you know, Kevin McHale came after the Larry Bird was drafted. So Larry, you know, Kevin McHale didn't start off as a 50 greatest player. You know, he started off as a guy that was building, you know, like a weirdo looking guy, you know, can't jump, can't do nothing. But he was building whatever. Eventually he became like a super sub, a guy that you can rely on to score and stuff like that. So that could be Obi Toppin. You know, so we can get to the point where we could still rely on Julius Randle to do the heavy lifting, you know, but then, you know, out of nowhere, Obi Toppin could be just as good as Randle. And now we got two guys, like you said, because the small ball lineup is working, you know, we could end up putting both of these guys in the lineup at the same time. You know, and then, you know, they had Robert Parrish over there, they had Dennis Johnson, you know, they had a couple other guys. So then they ended up drafting well with the different other guys that they picked up. You know, throughout the years too. They actually had a secondary player become a Finals MVP for them. I'm trying to get the exact year that was, but you know, the Knicks. Why can't the Knicks do that? You know, why can't we continue to build talent in that way? And then guys just all climax at the same time. Pause. You know what I'm saying? And then we end up going on like a 10-year tear where we're just winning championships, bro. Like every other year. Why can't that be us?
So. After watching Golden State Warriors dynasty go to 5 straight finals, you know, after the first quarter, I see Steph Curry has 25 points. Oh, my God. After watching their dynasty and watching how their team was built, they did not have a number one pick on their roster. The highest pick on their roster is Steph Curry at 7. Oh, shout-outs to Jordan Hale, man. Shout-outs to Jordan Hale, man. The 8th pick, man. Shout-outs to the 8th pick. But anyways, you know, watching them, you just need 3 pillars. You got to draft. You need the way I'm looking at our roster. You got to draft your 3 guys. You need to build your own franchise superstar. I think we got one of RJ, and you need that Andre Iguodala free agency signing. That's Julius Randle. So once you get all that together, now you just got to let it produce on the court. I really do think, honestly, Don. This team needs a trade, bro. Like, we need a guy. To get where I want us to be, preferably, and this might sound crazy, but if I would love for Fournier to come off the bench, and if we had a superstar in his spot, if you understand what I'm saying. Like,
with Fournier?
Yeah, and maybe Fournier could come off the bench, but that's probably, like, going to be, like, a year or two from now. But like a superstar next to RJ and Randle, and then you still have Evan Fournier, but you know, he's 28, 29 years old. He's going to be getting up in there in age. But maybe if we could get a guy in there like Jaylen Brown or something, and Fournier could come off the bench. Now you're cooking with grease. Now that's like, all right, you got something brewing. But I don't know, man. It's a wait and see, man. It's a wait and see. You got a nice young core, though.
Well, you know how that works too. Is that so, you know, like you mentioned, that Fournier is getting long in the tooth, but also his contract is not long either. You know, so like as soon as his contract gets to the point where he is that older statesman, then we can probably resign him and have him as that bench guy. You know, and then like you know get the guy that you're asking for. You know, but you know that's down the line, man. But I'm thinking like now. I think the Knicks have a chance to do something now. You know, to actually.
I don't see the player asking out. That's the only thing. We just need a guy. We need another guy. That's all. I don't care what the position is. Start 5. Just need a guy.
I get it, man. But even though we don't have that extra player, I think we still could really do some craziness in the East this year. You know, shout out to Philly because Philly, even though they going through all the stuff with Ben Simmons, they actually played pretty good the other night. You know, Maxi and the different guys, they actually stepped up. Cormax, whatever his name is. I think Maxi and Cormax, they both had 20 points, something like that. You
Maxi
know, so
it's good. Maxi is really good. I like Maxi. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I'm happy for those guys too, man, because they could totally like pack it in, yeah. You know, and you know, with the whole Ben Simmons stuff. You know, so and I also like what Maury's saying too, saying that he's not worried about Ben Simmons. You know, hopefully they'll be able to trade, but they're not going to trade him for nothing. Why stranglehold their franchise? You know, for this one guy and just give up, you know, stuff that they deserve. They deserve to get equal value for this kid. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. You know, so, you know, like I said, shout out to them. But, you know, we're prime, you know, to challenge any of these teams, man. You know, I'm with the smoke today. So, I mean, like, do you think we have a chance at like, let's say, like, a, you know, trade deadline trade? Do you think we prime for anything like that?
Absolutely. I already told you. That's probably my main hot take. I think we're going to have a trade deadline deal. Honestly, I think it's going to happen. I don't know who we're going to get. I really do think we're going to have a trade deadline deal, bro, for sure. Because this team, we just need to know. I'm going to keep saying, I don't know who he is. I don't know what teams is going to, you know, start looking bad. So we'll probably see within the first 10 games, I'll kind of give you an idea of the group of players that I feel like could put us over the top, honestly. It's tough, man. Listen. I already told you, I want the Timberwolves to make the playoffs. That kid Ant-Man, he's special. I like him. He's nice. And this is what I need for RJ. Like, and I love RJ. RJ, you know, he dunk, he rah, rah, rah. The man Ant-Man shot a three. He was shooting threes all crazy. He shot another three, made it. Turned around, told the Rockets coach, call a timeout. Now, I don't know if you think you the big kahuna, but that is some gangster shit right there. So this generation of ballers is tough. I'm watching LaMelo. I'm like, oh, God. I see the Chris Duarte kid the Knicks was looking at. The dude makes six threes yesterday. I'm like, God damn, there's so much talent in the NBA. I don't even know. Dog, man, you're killing me, man. We're going to need that Rasheed Wallace trade. I think that's what we need to call it. Call it the Rasheed Wallace trade. We need a trade deadline deal, the Rasheed Wallace trade. I think that'll get us over the top.
Or a Derek Harper trade. Remember, you know, when Doc Rivers went down, they went and traded for Derek Harper, and then we went to the finals? Yeah. You know, something like that. Every team kind of has that story. They get that one guy that really took them over the top. Like even the Sacramento team we were talking about, they had White Chocolate on the team, and then they traded for Mike Bibby, and then that's when they really started making their title runs once they got Mike Bibby in the mix there, man. So, you know, all these teams have their own story, man. I'm just looking as you're talking. I'm like looking to see who could really pop free. You know, out there, you know, with these different guys
who's
up there.
Losing. It depends on who's losing, bro. I'm looking at the standings. I'm gonna be looking closely at the standings this year. And as I'm looking at it, you know, there's another guy too. It's no rumblings right now. A guy who I think can really be had if the Knicks really was on their BS and they really start losing. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he gettable, y'all. And I didn't even put that on Twitter yet. I'm not gonna put that out there, but we got it on wax now. So people gonna listen to this, be like, all right, I hear you, State. Let's say OKC start 2-12, because they got the worst roster in basketball. They got a nice young roster. They got a roster I would die for. I'm not even going to sit here and cap. Like, they got a roster I would love. All young players. They got straight young players. Here's the problem, though. When you re-sign a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to that, David C., that is what I'm about to get at. When you sign a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and you know, he can't carry them boys, don't you? That's not happening. Would OKC look to move him after they signed him so they can get value for him? I think they would. Would the Knicks pounce on that? I think they would.
And now, here goes a foot in the mouth, though. Like, what are you willing to give for that? Because you said value, right? So what are you willing to give for that guy?
First of all, we know they want draft picks. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. We know they want draft picks, right?
Right.
So the second thing is, you know, Shai is signed. He's signed for 5 years. Right? You got Kenny Payne back there. So, not anything not named Randall or RJ. It's fair game. Anything I name Randall, RJ is fair game. That's what I'm gonna say about that. I don't want nothing to do with PG-13. That man will melt in New York.
Yo, man, but you got to give, in order to get a good player, you have to give up something. That's true. Know, so, I mean, you know, RJ Barrett's doing good for us right now. You know, Julius Randle's playing good for us. You know, we have a really good starting five, and we have a really good bench. So I get it. You know, we want, it's cool to take some of the excess talent and try to get somebody else here. But when you're talking about $200 million players, man, you know, now you're talking about putting, you got to put in, because I mean, per year, how much is that? Like 40?
No, is it, you're not getting no damn 40 a year.
I mean, 5 years, $200 million, right? Is that his deal?
It's incentives. So I think it's 5 years with incentives, basically. I think it's 170, but it comes up with incentives.
All right, so, you know, just hypothetical, 170, what's that, divided by five? So you're talking about $34, $35 million a year. That's a lot of bread to put together in order to do that. So, putting guys like Nerlens Noel and all these guys in there, is that value for Shea?
So Shea will be making, he's making a bag.
I'm telling you, man.
Yo, he's making a bag. $29 million in 2022, 2023. It goes $32 million, $34 million, $36 million, $39 million. But at the same time, man, I always tell you, man, 6'7" point guards, man, they don't grow on trees, man, especially like Shea. Shea smooth as butter, man. Shea smooth as butter. And if you talking about, I told you, if RJ gets to that level that I think he could get to, Tibbs is going to push for a trade, bro. I'm telling you right now, bro. He's not going to want to sit here and Grimes, McBride, they cool and all, but they will have a nice opportunity in OKC, right? Kevin Knox, yeah, like you. Come on, I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, I think he could be had. I think he could be had, honestly.
I think he could be had too, man. But it's not going to be for the guys we're going to give up. Because I mean, even though we got the draft picks, they still going to want a valuable player. You know, I mean,
who they want? They want quickly.
I mean, is quickly, you know, good enough to be traded for a guy like this guy, Alexander, whatever his name is.
I mean, if OKC want to continue to tank, it depends on what they're trying to do. If you take it, if I'm trading Shea, right, and I'm already tanking, and I'm looking at the Knicks, I know they're not going to want to give up RJ Barrett, and I know they're not going to want to give up Julius Randle, but if we could start a combo, if you offer me Mitchell Robinson, Grimes, McBride, Burke, like we could start a combo. You could start a combo with Mitch. Now I'm not trying to say quickly, because I think the Knicks, Tibbs love quickly. At the same time, Tibbs loves him very quickly.
But repeat the names that you said though. You said you started with Mitch, right? Mitch is still. Mitch. Yeah, Mitch would have to be a sign and trade at this point, and you know. But if you're talking about,
if they take Nerlens, I give up Nerlens before Mitch. But it depends. I don't think they're stupid enough to take back Nerlens. But I mean, hey, Nerlens got his money.
But Nerlens makes 10. Now you added some of these other guys. The other guys, they're not even making $5 million a year. Each of these guys, you know. So right now you got like five guys, and you still barely have a little bit over 20 million spent. You still got to come up with extra bread, and then you got to throw draft picks on there too. So now you got the roster now. You know, even though they're mediocre players, you got to gut the roster, and you got to give extra picks because you're not really giving. Like, I guess if you want to say quickly is somebody that has potential, but he's not that guy yet. You know what I'm saying?
I don't feel like giving up certain players has gotten the roster. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel like giving up certain players has gotten the roster.
But
if that's the case, then can we keep Grimes out of this trade then?
But I'm saying, from the guys you mentioned, it's like five dudes, and you still don't have the money to match up. You know what I'm saying? So that's five guys off a 15-man roster. So you get what I'm saying?
So here's the thing. All right. You got the MLE. I think you got trade exemptions. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's the Knicks, how much the Knicks got, but I'm pretty sure that we can match contracts. So I'm not really worried about that. I'm pretty sure Leon Rose can make a plan on about that. But it looked like he can be gettable, honestly. I think the Timberwolves is going to make the playoffs, and I think the Kings is going to surprise people too. I think the Kings is going to finally surprise people. So,
yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of other players out there. But what do you think about what Knicks 100 he's been saying behind it in the chat? Basically, you know, just like we don't need to do nothing major. I mean, you know, we still make a trade that can get us a player to help us out. You know, but it doesn't have to be that major guy that makes the $200 million. What about somebody on maybe on like the lower stage, maybe like somebody that's because there's a lot of players out there that make around 17, 20 mil. So that's way easier to make a trade to get something like that to add to what we have here. So what do you think about that?
It depends on who the guy is. See, this is my thing, right? Scott Perry. Shout out to Scott Perry. You know, I know we about to get out of here. I'm starving, bro. I don't know about you, but I'm starving. I want to cook. I got some shrimp. That's going to be good. But Scott Perry, you know, I appreciate the job that he's done. I appreciate the job that he's, you know, he reshaped the roster from Phil Jackson. But what I didn't appreciate in the past is him bringing on his ex-draft bus. Like, I was getting tired of it. But it's funny how he drafted. I believe he drafted Evan Fournier. But that's combo for another night. So the last thing I would love Scott Perry to do, just find a way to get either Mo Bamba or Cam Reddish on his roster. That's all I want. I think I'm good after that. I would love either or.
Well, you know, Cam Reddish, I think, you know, just judging off the game from tonight, he has like a good position there for Atlanta. I think he's finally like stepping up. So him coming off the bench for them tonight with a 20.
Can't pay everybody. Think about who they paid this summer.
I know, but
think about their cap.
I know, but fuck Trae Young, man. So what do you think the Atlanta Hawks? You think Atlanta Hawks gonna trade Cam Reddish to us? I mean, after all of that, the rivalry that's going on, why would rivals trade with each other?
Why would they trade when Cam Reddish could just sign a contract with us and they can make the rivalry even more spicy?
Well, that's next year, though. You're talking about down the line.
I mean, hey, you never know. You never know. Because honestly, a lot of the Hulk players is hurt right now. I don't think Lou will play tonight. I got to look at who's hurt on their team. But we'll see.
He's the only one, really.
He's the only one, right? Yeah, I think a rest of their players. Oh, Lou not hurt. I don't think I seen Lou tonight. I can't really recall the game because I'm thinking about the Knicks so damn much.
Yo, they play like 14 players tonight, Atlanta, because they was busting Dallas so bad that they basically emptied the whole bench and had everybody out there. So everybody's healthy on their roster except Lou Williams.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Okay. Lou Williams. No, they don't. Their draft pick has not played. Onyeka Okongwu.
Well, Cooper played like 4 minutes.
Cooper is not NBA ready. The game is too fast for him. It's too
easy. Jalen Johnson played too. He played 4 minutes.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I forgot about Jalen Johnson. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
But that's nice to see from Cam Reddish. But it's going to be a couple guys I'm going to be paying close attention to.
Yeah, man, I'm ready this year, man. You know, you like to look ahead, which is cool. But, you know, this year, I think this year, you know, we really could do something, man. Mm-hmm. You know, this year I'm ready for this year. I think, you know, I think Atlanta. Let's say I give Atlanta respect. You know, fuck all those Atlanta Hawk fans because they're all a bunch of like suckers, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to anybody that's watching. You know that follow the podcast. But, you know through the rivalry in the summertime, like your whole fan base is a bunch of suckers, man. You know what I'm saying? You guys act like you never won before. You guys were winning with Dominique. I was winning with you know, the whole Steve, what's the name? ISO Joe, whatever. Y'all was winning with him. And, you know, y'all had consistently winning teams. And then now you guys, you know, acting like you never won before, man. So that's me talking shit to their fan base, man. But, you know, I give them their respect, man. You know, they have a good team over there. And I'm like I said, I'm ready for them. I mentioned Philly. You know, you got Brooklyn, you know, over there. You know, the Bucks look great. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I feel like we're right in the mix of those teams, man. I don't feel like any of those guys are that much better than us. You know, they might have better individual players over there, like the go-to guys. But as far as us, you know, 10 for 10, I think we could bang with all these cats, man. So, you know, I'm not worried about none of these dudes, man. But I feel like this year we could really do something, man. You know?
Listen, the Eastern Conference is, they finally caught up to the West. This is the first year where it's like, yeah, the Eastern Conference, y'all, they ain't no joke. They go out West, they going to smack them boys by 30. If them boys don't gonna get up that night.
Oh shit! Yeah, this guy just Izzy Black just said that Atlanta, you know, the Bucks got blown out tonight.
Yeah.
Damn, 137-95.
Eastern Conference is looking real. It ain't even the Western Conference. And God damn, Golden State. See, Golden State is back.
And then they're not fully healthy yet either.
Yo, I cannot believe today's NBA, man. This is nice, man. This is nice.
Yo, let me, you know, before we get out of here, like the Warriors are playing the Clippers now, right? So the Clippers, they're waiting for Kawhi to come back. I'm looking at their roster. You know, their roster is pretty bad, man. They got right now, they got a lot of young guys on their team also, too. They have a lot of guys that they spent money on, like Kennard. They wasted money on him and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like a guy that's sitting there on the island, you know, by himself is Paul George. You know, he has to deal with all this other stuff. He's home. You know, he likes being home and this, that, and the other, man. But if Paul George gets pissed off, you know, because right now it looks like they're probably gonna lose a lot, you know. So if they do lose a lot, Paul George could be a guy that dangles. Now, let's say if Paul George becomes available around the trade deadline, at that point, would you be willing to give away some of these guys that we got?
Nah, I'm good. I can't deal with players like that, bro. I'm good, bro. He's not mentally tough enough for a guy like me. I'm good. I don't want to watch him on my team, bro.
But you're talking about a team that's already built on mentally tough, which is our current team. You know what I'm saying? So if we was to squeeze a couple guys together and get draft picks and all that.
In New York? Hell no. Hell no. What? Nah.
To be the third guy? To be the third or fourth guy on this team?
Nah. Not happening, bro. I'm good, bro. I don't want none of these mentally soft dudes, man. These dudes is cupcakes, man. I'm good, man. I don't want none of these dudes, man. And you know what's even worse about the Clippers before we get out of here? They traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That was a mistake. You don't trade that. Period. And you don't draft two bums over MPJ. But that's going to be a combo. For the Clippers and Clipper fans, after the season, that's when they're really gonna start talking about that.
Yeah. Watch. All right, man. So that's it, right? You gotta fill your belly, probably get medicated and all these things before you get started.
Yeah, man. Oh, who not? That's old. Oh, that's probably OG doing some type of work. But yeah, I'm good, man. I'm out of here, man. That was a great day yesterday, man. I had a good time. I'm tired as hell. I felt all the liquor from yesterday, all the liquor I had. I didn't feel like until today when I got to work and actually like sat down. I said, oh.
Yeah, but you're good. You had to work at, well, you got to work at 3, right? 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yo, I had to wake up at 3 a.m. You know what I'm saying? And I think I might have got in the crib like maybe like a quarter to 2. So I might have had like an hour or something, whatever. I caught like a quick nap at work. You know, I caught a couple cat naps at work, and look at me, 11 o'clock, I'm here talking to your fucking ass, you know, on the podcast, man. So I don't know how I do it, man.
Man, go your ass to sleep, man. Yeah, man. Man, get you some rest, man. I don't even want to talk to you no more, man. I'm going to keep the agenda going. RJ Barrett, all team second defense. RJ Barrett will be an all-star this year. It's looking like Evan Fournier could be a sneaky all-star as well. But that's a conversation for another day. And Julius Randle, 2001 Chris Webber, just keep it going, brother. Keep it going, Randle. You proved me wrong.
He might be a legit MVP candidate this year, man.
I can't say nothing. Even yesterday, I knew it was real. Because when we both was discussing the game, We never said to each other when he had a turnover, we never said, damn, that's a bad turnover. We just looked at each other and said, oh, you turned the ball over again. But it wasn't like, it wasn't bad. Like, it's like he's trying to play winning basketball. I'm so proud of that man, man. It's nice. It's nice to be proven wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one thing though, man, I want to say before we got here too, man. You know, we all meet each other for the first time, but you know, same thing, just like on here and whatever. I think Sim had to check you a couple times. I think Apollo had to check you a couple times. You know, I think Queen's Court had to check you a couple times because you were like all over the place, which it takes all game or whatever, man. But you know, it was a blast to finally meet you, man. You know, after all these podcasts and shit that we do, spending all this time and brain matter, you know, with each other, you know. You know, we finally got to meet each other, and it was dope, man.
Yes, sir.
We definitely got to do it more often.
Yes, sir. Y'all all cool peoples, man. Y'all all like family, man. Yesterday was nice. That was a nice setup. Sim got me motivated. Shit, I might do some overtime tonight. Thinking about it, but nah, let me stop lying. But it was nice yesterday, man. That was a nice event. Shout out to Sim, man. Shout out to you, man. It was nice meeting you in person. It's the first time I met a lot of these people in person. I got so much love in the garden. Like, it was crazy. So I feel bad when I curse. So I can't even curse somebody out on Twitter no more. That's how that's how much love I received yesterday, dog. Like, I couldn't curse at nobody today on Twitter. I
was like, yeah, people were shouting you out, man. It was, yo, stay!
I'm like, yo, leave me alone. I had to tell a dude today, like, yo, bro, you got it, bro. I don't even, I can't even curse with you no more, bro. You got it. But it's good energy. It's good energy. That was nice, man.
Yeah.
These guys in the chat, man. Salute the White Falcon on Knicks 100, man. I've been seeing y'all post in the chat all night. I'm so focused on trying to get the data. I wasn't even paying attention to my phone. But I see y'all, man. Izzy Black, David C, Stop the Videos, Curry, I see all y'all, man. Audie, you know, he usually hears Sherwin, Eric L. Beats, man, Kareem.
Yo, shout out to Greenhouse, too, man, because we finally got to meet Greenhouse. Greenhouse popped up on us.
Yes. Shout out to Greenhouse, man. Shout out to my boy Greenhouse. He crazy, too.
Yeah, he a cool motherfucker, man. He just popped up and said, yo, what's up, man? I'm Greenhouse. Like, oh, shit, Greenhouse.
All right, what's up, bro? But that's love, though, man. That's nice. That's Nick. That's that Nick talk. That's nice, man. That's nice, man. But please, I gotta get out of here, dog, man.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here too, man.
I'm going crazy. I'm hungry. I'm out of here, man.
Yeah, my skin about to melt off my bones and shit, man. Gotta get the hell out of here.
Y'all know where to find the podcast. Die Hard State of Mind. I think this is episode 28. Hold on. I want to make sure, just in case. Y'all know where to find us. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Play. We everywhere, man. I appreciate everybody that be tuning in. Hold on, I'm looking for, where the hell is my Anchor app? Oh, there we go. But these podcasters are nice, man. I know most of them I do it at my job, but the hell with it, it doesn't matter. But we on episode 29. I finally got it. So salute to all y'all, man. I appreciate all y'all, man. Dog, my guy Eru. Salute to you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. Yo, Sherman. We can be homers for once, man. It's all right, bro. It's all right.
Hey, we earned that right, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Good night. See you guys later. Yo, once again, for those that I saw yesterday, man, if you guys can contact me so I can know exactly who you guys were, because I got a bad memory. It was like a blur yesterday. So, like, you know, if we ran into each other yesterday and we talked, whatever, hit me up in the DMs, whatever. That way, you know, that way I could exactly know who you guys are, man. So, anyway, shout out to everybody. We're going to be out in these streets, man. I see Eric Beast talking about going to the game Sunday. We'll see, man. But, you know, I'll see you guys out there. Eru out. Four fingers to the forehead, tucking the thumb. Salute. Peace. Motherfucker.